ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEN 930 AM, as Buffalo as Lake Effect.
Welcome in. Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Final segment, and we are joined this segment by Congressman Nick Langworthy. Congressman, welcome back to the show.
Joe, it's great to be with you.
Great to have you here. Before we get to the shutdown, let's talk about the big news yesterday, a peace deal between Israel and Hamas. You would think there'd be a lot more congratulations to the Trump administration.
I mean, this is a historic day. The fact that I just was watching a clip of Hamas officials declaring that the war is over. I mean, this is what the world has prayed for 2 years since the awful attacks on October 7th of 2023. And hopefully we can get to a period of peace. Those hostages returned early next week. And a new remaking of relations in the Middle East. But, you know, President Trump deserves so much credit. His administration, Marco Rubio, so many of President Trump's advisors have worked day and night on this for the entirety of his administration. And now we have a final outcome that we've all wanted so much, an end to hostilities, a returning of the hostages. I mean, this is an incredible day. President Trump, I honestly, deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for this effort.
Like Scott Jennings said, it's been 16 years since Barack Obama got his Nobel Peace Prize, and Trump should have his by the close of business today, is what he said.
This is, you cannot state enough what this means to the world. I mean, there's been so much division over the war in Gaza, which was brought on by the horrific, barbaric attacks on October 7th. And now, you know, that war can draw to its conclusion and we can, you know, move forward to a new era. But it wouldn't be but for President Trump's leadership.
Now, Congressman, while that is going on, obviously there's still the focus in D.C. on the government shutdown. What is there to know at this point on Capitol Hill?
Well, I am increasingly frustrated by the hour about this situation, because now for the seventh time, Senate Democrats have voted against a clean continuing resolution to fund our government. They voted again this afternoon to not pay our troops on the 15th, which is the next pay period for our active duty service members, to not pay the air traffic controllers, to not pay our frontline workers at the VA hospitals, and inflict pain on the American people and create a dynamic where there's a government that's not responsive to the taxpayers. And in the House, we have passed a clean continuing resolution, Biden level spending, no policy riders, no gimmicks, just straight funding, 52 days, keep the government open, and we'll negotiate the rest for the year-long spending budget. That apparently still not good enough, and they don't care who they're hurting here in the process. Seven straight times voted not to open the government. We have Senator Schumer this morning quoted in Punch Bowl saying, every day that goes by is better for us. And by us, he means his political party. I don't see how you could have that sort of craven political spirit when you know that your actions and your inactions in his regard are going to hurt people. And that's exactly what they're doing. And that's not a political statement. I mean, creating financial uncertainty for our service members and our essential federal employees that are showing up every day knowing they're not going to get a check. It's embarrassing. It's disgusting. I don't believe in shutdowns. And, this one, there's never been a shutdown over a clean CR before in the history of the country. And that's what's really, really over the top here.
Congressman, what do you think's changed? You know, it was 6 months ago the Democrats agreed to the CR to keep the government open, and now it seems like Chuck Schumer is leading them in the direction of we'll keep this thing shut down as long as we have to.
I mean, the problem is they're trying to attach a non sequitur, something unrelated to the ability to just keep our government open. They can have the same fight in 52 days when we're considering what is hopefully 12 appropriations bills in a year-long spending fight. They can have those arguments in those debates, but this is basically a routine Band-Aid that the federal government all too often uses just to keep business flowing and buy us more time for those negotiations. This was a needless point on the calendar to decide to create chaos and havoc. I can't chalk it up to anything more than, you know, the Chuck Schumer's personal politics in the politics of some of those senators that are afraid of a left-wing primary. And, it's well documented that Senator Schumer is terrified of a primary from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. In public polling, he trails her. And he wants to seem like the Democrat tough guy, that he's fighting Trump. The president's going out and fighting for world peace right now. I mean, he's conducting the business of the country. It's the little guy that's getting screwed here. I mean, the president hasn't missed a trick. He is off doing his job and leading this country. The people that are being hurt are our federal workforce and the 1.3 million members of our military that are going to go without a salary. And they have to call their spouse back home if they're deployed and explain, you know, you got to figure out how to pay the mortgage, pay the rent, pay the car payment. These are things Chuck Schumer doesn't have to worry about. These are things that our active duty enlisted service members do. And we need to fix this long haul and stop the shutdown art form. Because I think anyone that's ever done this has done nothing but inflict pain on everyday people. And it's never solved any political crisis.
Now, I saw Sean Duffy talk on Fox and Friends talking about, you know, the air traffic controllers. They're, you know, signing on to do Uber. I mean, can you imagine the guy who just landed your plane is the one picking you up at the front of the airport? I mean, think about how much sleep they're losing when they've got to get back to that position tomorrow.
The stress of this position, we need these people on their A game every single day. These are life and death decisions in these towers. I'm fighting to get more pay, better work environment, modernized equipment. And we did a lot of that in the budget reconciliation. I believe we made a $12 billion down payment on a $60 billion plan to modernize our air traffic control, to recruit more people into that field, and to really modernize that pillar to post. And now we have these individuals forced to make very difficult decisions to bring money in to pay, you know, their bills. Also, Chuck Schumer can have a political temper tantrum and show he's tough. I mean, you know, if I see one more web video from one of my Democratic colleagues, either in the Senate or the House, you know, this performative art that we see about how they're fighting, they're not doing a damn thing. They're kicking people in the teeth is what they're doing. We can have a discussion about their variety. You know, they've demanded $1.5 trillion in addition to the budget. They want us to repeal all of the health care reforms that we achieved in budget reconciliation that eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse. They want all that gone, which on page 57 of their proposal, it outlines that they don't want us to, you know, look for national origin, nationality, or citizenship. So that means that they want to provide, you know, the taxpayer-funded benefits to those illegal immigrants that are still in the country. That's what this fight's about. And they're going to war over this. They don't care about the collateral damage of the people that serve our country every single day, whether it's the flying public or keeping our country safe and secure, our border patrol agents, the doctors and the nurses at the VA that have to show up every day and take care of our vets. And then they don't know when their paycheck's going to come in. You know, when Washington gets its act together, I mean, that's Chuck Schumer has been in Washington since the year I was born. And that, I think, says a lot about our need for term limits, especially in the U.S. Senate.
It is funny that Schumer will say everything's Trump's fault, but like you said, he's been in D.C. our entire lifetime. But he points
well, longer than you've been alive.
Yeah.
When you look at it, Joe, you know, they say, well, you have the White House, the House, and the Senate. Let's make this crystal clear. They're using the filibuster, which is a Senate rule that requires 60 votes to shut off debate. They're using the filibuster to shut down the country. And you don't need a majority. You need basically a supermajority. You need more than 60. There's only been two times in the last 40 years that either party's had 60 votes in their own ranks. You know, even three Democrats, courageously, Fetterman, Cortez Mastro in Nevada, and Angus King in Maine, who is an independent, the caucus is Democrat. They have voted with our guys to reopen the government every single time. But the rest of them, they're on this quixotic mission. They think they're going to, you know, basically extort Republicans into restoring fraud, waste, and abuse to the health care system and fund health care for illegal immigrants in order to reopen the government. We're not going to be extorted. Chuck Schumer, in his own words in 2013, said, you know, there's a time for negotiation, but it's not going to be with a gun to our head. And it's not going to be now either, now that the shoe's on the other foot. What he's doing is wrong. The House has done its work. We've passed the funding. Now they're going to start to squirm. They need to do the right thing and reopen the government today.
Congressman, before we let you go, we had Assemblyman Paul Bologna on in the first segment talking about
New York. I heard some of that interview, and I thought it was great.
What do you think of New York State continuing to go forward with this electrification? And not only will they not listen to Republicans, they're not going to listen to the professionals and the experts on this topic.
They're not listening to anybody. If you don't have blue hair and you don't protest out on the street, Kathy Hochul in the Democratic Party doesn't listen to anyone in Albany. And that's the problem on where we're at in our politics in the state of New York right now. I mean, that's why I've introduced the Energy Choice Act, which is my legislation that would ban the bans, trying to find a federal solution to this very unique New York problem and hopefully create good national framework so that we don't have this happening in other states either. We're supposed to be marking that bill up on October 21st and getting it out of committee and make it eligible for the floor. But Schumer's shutdown has, you know, prevented our hearing activities from taking place. Assemblyman Bologna was right on the money. He articulated his points extremely well, and I listened to several of your callers as well as I was driving today. This is something that hits upstate New Yorkers worse than anywhere else in the state. The way they have implemented this ban, structures under seven stories, well, that's not till the end of the decade. Single-family homes right now. There is no technology, there's no practicality, and there's no market forces that are asking for this, that want this. They didn't have a single hearing. They just jammed it in the budget in the middle of the night. And the They're putting people in a life or death situation. This is dangerous, and it's going to the real net effect. It's going to drive more and more New Yorkers to make that unfortunate decision to just pick up and leave. And that's the reality of New York as it stands today. And elections have consequences. And we got a big one next year. And my good friend and colleague, Elise Stefanik, I expect very soon will be making her intentions known about a governor's race. You don't need new laws. You need a new governor.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's unfortunate. You know, I love New York, Congressman. There's just the politics gives you a lot to, you know, say, am I making the right decision staying here by the way this state is currently being run?
And every single day I talk to constituents, and especially those people that are near retirement age, and it's not about weather. They talk about how they can't wait to hit this deadline, and they're going to get the hell out of here. And that is not a healthy way to run a state where your citizens are excited about leaving. I mean, how messed up is that? Where your citizens are, I can't wait to get to that magic number, and then we're going to North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Florida, you name it. In my colleagues talk to me all the time. Can you stop sending your citizens down here? I mean, it's a running joke because so many New Yorkers have moved on everywhere else. There's Bills backers bars in every major city in this country for a reason. It's not because we're a popular team. It's because our citizens have left.
Yep.
And they live somewhere else.
Yeah,
and that is, you know, that choice of stay or go should not lead people's minds in a healthy state and community. But unfortunately, here in Western New York, in particular, throughout my district, the Southern Tier, but really, this is a sad upstate narrative. We're constantly kissing our friends and our loved ones goodbye as they go on to find more freedom, whether it's economic or personal. And it's because Albany has betrayed our trust. It's, you know, when we had the opportunity, somebody like Kathy Hochul, we hadn't had an upstate governor in over 100 years. And she has blown that, and she's abandoned every value that this community should have given her on the way to that job. And the only thing that she's been involved in that's had any net benefit is helping us get a new stadium. But beyond that, she has been an utter failure by every single metric, and there's been no greater failure than what she's done to us with her climate hocus pocus and these electrification mandates that are, I mean, you and I have talked plenty of times about Winter Storm Elliott, the Christmas blizzard. This was the last time and the first time in a long time I was afraid if I could take care of my family. And I know that sentiment was community-wide, and it was, you know, your station, it was on the air around the clock, trying to give people the right information and guidance that helped get us through that blizzard. But if that electrification was online at that point during that blizzard, there would have been hundreds, if not thousands, dead because we get harsh weather. That's the reality of this community. And that's the reality of the entirety of upstate New York. And she knows it, and she doesn't give a damn. She'd rather go and pray at the altar of the green gods with all of her climate wackos.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because you would think, of all people, a governor from Western New York would know the realities, and she is obviously just ignoring them as she tries to get reelected.
Yeah, it's again, just like what we talked about with Chuck, this is craven politics first. It's not common sense. It's not helping our economy. It's going to drive costs up. I mean, it costs more to build. It costs more to buy the equipment. And, you know, they're not telling people, oh, by the way, your electric bill every month to heat the home is going to be $1,000. Where is that going to land for a senior citizen on Social Security trying to stay in their own home? And if you think that they're going to stop at new construction, I got a bridge to sell you. They're coming for all the retrofit. This is just the first step on the road. That's why I'm out there trying to find a federal solution to this problem that New York has delivered. Unlike a lot of Republicans that are states' rights first, I'm actually out there fighting to find federal solutions to get around my state. And I'll keep doing that.
Congressman Nick Lainworthy, always appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much, Joe.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.